So, Neil Patel, welcome to Masters in Marketing.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Excellent. Probably you don't need an introduction because most people in the digital world know you. At least I'm sure that 10 out of 10 people in the SEO world know you. Maybe in the digital marketing world, maybe 7, 8 out of 10. But maybe it's good to do anyway, a small elevator pitch just for the people that don't know you.
So, my name is Neil Patel. I run a global ad agency called NP Digital. We're in 17 countries now. And I blog on neilpatel.com, have some software products like Answer the Public and Uber Suggest, and just really love helping anyone in the marketing space.
Excellent. And your main focus is SEO, we would say.
My main focus is it's honestly, we actually make more money from managing paid advertising than we do from SEO. But my main focus is anything digital, whether it's organic social or paid social or SEO or email marketing or conversion rate optimization. It's anything digital marketing and performance marketing.
Excellent. Okay.
But
Good.
most
So I'm
people
going.
don't, you know.
Yeah, right. That's true. That's how I started when I first started seeing your content, probably like 12, 13 years ago. And mainly you talk about SEO. Like most of the content is SEO related, right?
Yes, it started off as
Right.
SEO and then started talking about everything.
So let's start with an SEO question then. How to win in on-page SEO?
The best way to win on-page SEO is you just button up your website. The sad reality is it's not about meta tags or site speed. It's not about content. It's actually about everything. So you can't, SEO is so competitive now, you can't do one thing right. You can't just do meta tags. You can't just optimize your content. You can't just optimize user experience. You got to do everything or else you won't win because everyone is doing everything. So it's all the little stuff that adds up, and the person who does everything really well and it's well put together usually is the one who wins.
Right. Makes sense. What are the best backlinks?
The best backlinks are ones from high authority sites that are very, very relevant and they're within text. So they're contextual as well. So you want them within content, not sidebars, not footer, within text from very relevant sites with high authority.
Okay. And is it important to be local? Like the closest to your radius, the better, or it doesn't matter?
Doesn't matter. If you're a local business, sure. That can help, but a lot of businesses are not local and it won't matter.
Right. So if I am, for example, here in this region in Dubai, and most of the websites here or the local websites end with .ae, not with .com. So it doesn't really matter if I get backlinks from even so if I get a the same domain
Yeah, that's
authority.
different. So when I say local, I'm talking about city-based. If you're
Okay.
talking about the UAE, if you want to do well in the UAE or France or the UK, ideally you want links from domains and sites that are country specific.
Okay. Why?
Because it shows that people within the country like your website, they trust it, they're linking to you, and they're recommending in essence to other people.
Okay, cool. And so what about mixing up domains? So or types of mixing up backlinks from different types of domains. So what about the domains that are coming from like bookmarking sites and comments and blogs and social media posts and links from your friends' websites that has a low domain authority? Do they help? Are they needed or they're not needed at all?
They're all needed. You need to be omni-channel and you need to be showing that you have presences everywhere. People are linking to you, talking about you. You got followers. It helps with trust and authority. But some of that stuff doesn't help as much with SEO, like getting links from social profiles are really easy to do, but it's not bad. It just shows that you have, trust and authority, especially if you have a lot of followers.
Got it. Okay. And what about paid links? So we know that today it's almost impossible to get a link without paying for it, unless you
No,
are.
you still get links without paying for it. We do it all the time for customers. I would not recommend paying for them. You could, it's just not the best solution. So for example, releasing free tools is a great way to get natural links. Creating infographics is a great way to get natural links. We have something called digital PR where we do outreach to a lot of the big publications and we create content that we know they'll like and they want to talk about and link to because it's hot trending stuff that's relevant to our clients' industry and relevant to these publications as well.
Right.
It just takes more work. It's definitely doable. It's not easy. It takes a lot of work, and that's why most people prefer paying because it's easier. And funny enough, right. In many cases, it's cheaper because you don't have to spend the time if you put a dollar value on the time. But I do think that's not the best way to do it. And what we find is when you build them naturally, the quality of the links are much better, and your rankings tend to grow much better as well.
Right. And that applies to any size business or any industry?
Yes. Some industries, you don't need links and you don't need SEO. For example, if I'm selling planes, like I'm Boeing, or I'm selling like missile defense systems and I'm Boeing and I'm selling them to the government, you don't really need to do SEO for that. Your customers are just governments and there's not too many people who produce missile defense systems. I'm making this up, but you get the point, right?
Yeah.
Some industries, marketing just doesn't matter too much.
Right. And some industries, like I found, because I offer SEO services for clients, and some industries, it's very difficult to write like amazing content for publications to pick up. And when you are in a niche or a niche market like the UAE, where there's a limitation with the number of publications that write specific content. So if, for example, I work for a swimming pool contractor,
yeah,
in Dubai, it's impossible to write a piece of article and to be able to pitch it to global players. You're not able to compete.
You don't need to pitch it global. You just need to pitch it to other local players within the UAE. And you can talk about things like, 21 amazing pool designs that work really well in hot weather. And you can talk about, most people use a pool to cool down, but what do you do when it's over 50 degrees Celsius? You know, your pool is baking and it's too hot to swim in. Here's some pool designs that actually keep your pool cooler so that way you can swim in 50 degrees Celsius weather. Now, I'm making up this article, but you get the point. If you can actually make an article on it and it would be factual and you have data to back it up, stuff like that people would be interested in.
Yeah, and who would pick it up?
A lot of gardening websites, outdoor websites, home improvement websites, construction websites, stuff like that.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I mean. Because in the small market like here, there are not many websites. Like in the US, example.
Right. But you would focus in your region, you would focus on UAE, you would focus on MENA. You wouldn't focus on UAE build links. You would focus on all of MENA.
Yeah.
And it's still a smaller number than, let's say, the United States, but there's still enough where you can get some traction.
Yeah. Okay, cool. In a competitive space, can sites rank without backlinks? So can they rank only with content, with writing amazing pieces of content?
That's very hard to do. You usually need backlinks.
Because there are some SEO experts online that have YouTube channels that talk about this a lot, and they say you don't need backlinks. If you write an amazing piece of content, you can outrank your competitors. And I don't know how, I haven't seen it, never saw it. I've tried different things.
I recommend anyone who believes that to go create a new website, write the best piece of content and see if you rank for terms like auto insurance or mortgages. Yeah. I just don't see it happening.
Okay, cool. Good, we're on the same page there. Again, in a competitive space, can a page rank with slim content?
I've seen that, but not as often. It's not about slim content or detailed content. It's providing the best content for the user. And I'll give you an example. If there's an article, if I'm searching for how to tie a tie, right? Let's say I need to put a tie on my suit. No one wants to read an article that is 1,000 words. They just want an animated GIF or a video that shows you how to tie a tie in 5 steps. It could just be some images. One could consider that slim content. One can consider that detailed content. you know, that's up to the reader. But at the end of the day, it's providing the reader the answer in the quickest form possible. So I wouldn't look at content as how many words you have. I would look at content as, can you provide the reader or visitor with their answer and answer every single thing that they need in the quickest possible way?
In the quickest possible way.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think more importantly than content length is how often you update the content. See, because when someone does a search, no one wants to see outdated information for a lot of the talks out there. Some, it doesn't matter, like how tie a tie, it doesn't really change over time. But for many industries, people don't want to read a three-year-old article when they can read a one-week-old article and it'll be more up-to-date.
Right. So more up-to-date content that answers the user's query. It doesn't matter of the length.
Yes.
And now we know at the same time that Google would rank or would take into consideration the time spent on a page. So if two web, right? And that's how they change the rankings based on the user experience. And the user experience, right. Google.
Through meta tags to on the page, finding what they're needing. Or do they click the back button and they go to the second listing because they didn't find what they're looking for?
Right, exactly. Cool. How many keywords is it good to target on one page?
I don't really look at it anymore as how many keywords to target on one page. I look at it as pages as topics. So a page could be a topic around like starting SEO or beginner's guide to SEO or newbie's guide to SEO, and you can talk about all things SEO. Another page could just be on link building because that's what everyone needs to know about link building. Another page could be about creating blog content. Another page could just be about creating social content for Instagram, right? So I look at it as topic based, and search engines have adapted to be more keyword focused, to be more topic focused.
Right. And at the same time, just as you said, like Google and search engines look at title tags, meta tags, headers. So
you look at all this, meta tags, URLs, titles, which we mentioned, headings, you know, keywords within the article, engagement on that page, or a lot of people clicking it and liking it, sticking around, or they leaving, all that kind of stuff, internal links, backlinks, like they paid attention to all this stuff.
Right. So again, if it is a topic, so I'm just trying to kind of split the topic between a topic and a keyword, because it could be a topic is on page SEO and a keyword is most effective,
I totally get what you're getting at. When you focus on topics on your website, focus on a page on a specific topic. So don't focus one page on everything related to SEO. You can have one page that's broad that just talks about SEO, and then it links to all the subsections of SEO. Like a page on link building, a page on updating content, a page on improving your load time, and you get very specific.
Right. So so in this case, how would you rank if you're focusing on topic and your competitors are focusing, they're splitting all these micro topics or these keywords by many articles?
You need to leverage topic clusters. Have an overall. The best example of this is check out The Beginner's Guide to SEO by Moz. They'll talk about SEO on one page, and they link to a lot of different subsections on different pages. So in essence, yes, you're talking about a topic, but your topic is being focused on maybe not one keyword, but 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 10 keywords, 20 main keywords, but it's all around the same topic. Because Google's like a thesaurus. It knows if you're talking about online marketing, you're also talking about internet marketing. Even if you barely mention the page keyword internet marketing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm just thinking about, like, we know, you and I know that if you split a, let's say a topic, again, on page SEO that has, let's say, 100 keywords. And if you split these 100 keywords into few blogs, and each of the blogs has internal links, has external links, has backlinks to it, has the right keyword in the URS log, in the title tag, meta tag, header, H1, H2, etc., that blog has higher chances to rank than a topic blog that has all these keywords in it.
Yeah, but the topic blog is not one page. We're saying, I think, the similar thing in which, instead of just focusing on keywords per page, focus on the overall topic. If you're going to talk about SEO, okay, introduction to SEO maybe is one page. Another page is on link building. Another page is on creating content. Another page is improving your site speed. Another page is optimizing your meta tags. So yes, you're getting into subsections of that topic, but it all feeds into one area, and that topic cluster would be around SEO, for example, right?
Yeah.
So the overall goal is, yes, you can focus on keywords, but just don't randomly write articles. Think about the whole picture and encompass everything into it. And the story needs to flow. When someone starts at the top, they should be able to read the rest and understand everything in a congruent manner.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. So we're agreeing that we write about a topic, which is let's say backlinks. But then again, we write, let's say, how to write the best backlink and what are the top 10 backlinks. These are
let's say we're talking about backlinks. We could have a page on paid backlinks and the pros and cons. We can have a page on building organic backlinks through infographics. We can talk about digital PR and how to build backlinks from high publications through digital PR. We can talk about giving away free tools on another page as my favorite link building strategy, right? We can talk about the difference between domain authority and page authority, right? And how links can affect domain authority and page authority.
Yeah. And when you're doing that, then you're not focusing on a group of keywords per article in this case?
If I'm talking about domain authority, I can talk about domain authority, page authority, domain rankings, page rankings, because people have different versions of them. Page rank, which is old, but people every once in a while still talk about them. So you can encompass a lot of different types of keywords within that article that are around the same thing.
Yeah. Right. And still within that topic that we talked about, if these micro topics are relevant, then you could write blogs about these micro topics, about like going deeper. Yeah. Okay, cool. We're aligned. Perfect. I think it's very clear. Good. How to create a winning blog?
A winning blog is really simple. You write amazing new content that people haven't read before, because most people write regurgitated information. And the second is you keep updating your content, make sure it's fresh and relevant to people, just like how Wikipedia ranks for everything because their content's fresh. And third is you continually do outreach and you try to build backlinks. And you look to see who links to your competition and you hit those sites up and try to get them to link to you.
Right. Yeah, and you do that very well.
Thank you.
Good. Thing is, like, how do you write amazing? So let me rephrase. Today, let's say I sell SEO as a service, but I don't know how to write. I'm not a good copywriter. And the people that I have, they're not SEO experts to write blogs about SEO, and I want to write about SEO, right? Because I know SEO, I love SEO, and I want to show my expertise on my website. What is the best way to find a copywriter and a designer to create this amazing blog? A copywriter that is specialized in SEO or any other service, but not that we're talking about.
There's a lot of copywriters out there. You can go to ProBlogger job board, you can go to Upwork, and start talking to people and get references and see their work quality.
Right. So now if you search, for example, on Upwork for, what would you search for?
ProBlogger job board is probably better for content writers.
Okay. So what would you search for if you want to write a blog about SEO?
You're saying hire someone or search for someone? Hire someone, right?
Hire someone to, like a freelancer, to write for you.
If you go to ProBlogger job board, it's mainly writers who write for blogs who are good at writing. A lot of them are, and a lot of them understand SEO. That's the only thing the job board focuses on. That's like the main type of job they focus on.
Right. And that they can write for any industry, or you need to. So let me ask you another question. So for a dentist.
What's the job listing? You say, hey, I'm interested in finding a writer who can write for this industry. Here are the topics. Email me some of the work you've done and email me some ideas for blog posts related to this industry and outline it. And let's test out one article. And either you like them and you can hire them or you don't. And then you go through a few of them and whatever ones produce the best work is who you hire.
So you make a job and you keep it open for anybody to apply to?
Yes.
Okay. Nice. Good. So what's the best way to rank for long tail keywords?
We talked about this earlier with the topics and the clustering, and then we talked about the example with backlinks and having specific pages on domain ranking or domain authority versus page authority. But it's not just having pages on a specific keyword, it's encompassing the whole topic.
Right. Makes sense.
That's the best way to, I believe, rank blog content these days, is you need to cover the whole topic and you need to cover all aspects of it, and you need to keep your content up to date as well, which we talked about when you asked about creating a winning blog. If you don't update the content, keep it fresh, it won't rank as well in the long run.
Makes sense. With the birth of Bard and ChatGPT, how do you see SEO changing?
Well, I see SEO changing with everyone creating more regurgitated content. It's making it so easy to create content so fast, but it's being regurgitated. It's like a new version of a content spinner. I don't know if you have this in the UAE or in the Middle East. Have you ever seen Where's Waldo? The image where the guy in the the red and white striped shirt. So Where's Waldo was, there's a lot of random people. You would have to find the person that is dressed specifically in a shirt that is with red and white stripes. And there would only be one out of 1,000 people. So you got to find traffic. Now everyone is using AI, so their content's looking alike. So now everyone in that image would be in a red and white shirt. Everyone is using the same marketing, same type of content, regurgitated information. And I believe in SEO in the future, Google and Bing will crave more human written unique content ever than before, because this unique content feeds their AI as well.
Right. And in terms of the rules of the game, how is it changing? So first of all, the rules of the game. And second of all, like, we know that a lot of people are spending a lot more time on ChatGPT than on Google search engine. So are there any rules that you're seeing, any changes in this space, anything to worry about? A lot of people are saying SEO is dying. The whole search engine is changing. What are your thoughts on that?
It drives so much revenue for our customers. And we work with a lot of big corporations. And I'm talking about, some of them are worth hundreds of billions of dollars. Some are even worth trillions of dollars based on their market cap. But what we're seeing is SEO is evolving. It's not dying. And what I mean by that is SEO, as you see, it will still exist, but now you can even do SEO, before for app stores, when people do a search on, the Apple App Store, but now also when they do a search on ChatGPT. I got a message. I'm going to read this message to you. Okay. Let's see if I can find it. And I'll read the short version because it was much longer. Let's see. I have to find it. Okay, let's see. Slack now. Hey, Neil, I hope you're doing well. My name is Iris. I'm based out of Hong Kong. I work with this company. I'm not going to read the company name. We are one of Asia's largest fintech communities, and we host the biggest fintech event in, I'm not going to mention the country because that gives it up, Currently, we're seeking digital marketing agencies to partner with us for our upcoming event. I won't read the rest. We are looking for a comprehensive digital marketing solution from strategy, production, media planning, placement to promote our event and our corporation and to drive attendance and also drive revenue. Not sure if your agency will be interested in this project. Please let me know. Interestingly, I asked ChatGPT to search for good digital marketing agencies for me, and your agency is on the list. And we're getting this multiple times. And what I mean by that is you also need to optimize for GPT and Bard to suggest your corporation and your company, just like you would optimize for traditional SEO as well.
There was a cut, Neil. So you said you have to optimize for ChatGPT and there was a cut.
And Bard. You have to optimize for ChatGPT and Bard, just like you would optimize for traditional SEO.
Right. Okay. How much should businesses expect to pay for SEO on a monthly basis?
It ranges. There's no right or wrong answer. You know, website could be optimizing for a local business just in Dubai. A business could be optimizing for 80 different countries around the world, and they have 30 different products, and they need all these different languages. There's no right or wrong answer. I've seen SEO campaigns be as cheap as $1,000 a month. You know, I don't know what you get for $1,000. You know, some people maybe will do it really cheap. And I've seen SEO campaigns go into, kid you not, over $10 million a year.
Yeah. Okay. Good. What are your favorite SEO tools?
My favorite SEO tools are, I'm biased because we have our own. So I would say Uber Suggest and Answer the Public. But I love Google Search Console. More importantly than SEO tools, I think the problem is it doesn't matter too much what SEO tool you're using. The biggest issue I see is tons of companies paying for SEO tools or using them, and they don't actually do anything with the tools. Oh, we did some keyword research. Okay, did you guys create content around it? No. Oh, we have all these technical SEO errors. Did you fix them? No. The point I'm getting at is pick any tool you want. The most important part is actually doing something with the data and the reporting. Most people will do it for a week or two or a month or two, and then they stop and they keep paying for the tools. That's the issue.
Right. And Uber Suggest is, I think it's within your domain, right? Is it within Neil Patel or it's, so what is the
URL? Uber Suggest.com. They all, it goes to the same place.
Ubersuggest.com. Cool. Yep. What are your top three to-dos in SEO?
Update content, because most people don't keep their content fresh and up to date. The third one is focus on writing new, amazing content, whether it's video, audio, text, it doesn't matter, images. Most people don't create new, amazing content that hasn't been talked about before. That's the stuff that does really well. And the third is spend majority of your time promoting your website than creating content. Like I would spend 20% of the time creating content, 80% of the time promoting it. Most people, they'll spend 80% of the time creating the content, 20% promoting. And when I mean promoting, asking for backlinks, looking to see who links to my competition, seeing who's linking to other people with similar articles and the links are broken, getting people to share the content on social media, like just continually going out there and trying to promote it, sending out an email blast to my users about this amazing piece of content. Like, you got to continually just promote it.
Good one. All right. And for the sake of time, before that, do you like to add anything? Is there anything that I didn't ask you?
No, but you already know this, but for everyone listening, SEO has amazing ROI, one of the best ROIs for any marketing channel. It's just slow and steady wins the race. You're not going to get amazing results in a month or two. Within 3 to 6 months, you should start seeing some traction. Within a year, you'll see better results, but it compounds. And after 3-4 years of doing it, you'll be like, wow, look at all these results and the revenue we're driving from this channel. Most people just aren't patient, but it does well.
That's true. Cool. And one last thing to leave the listeners with.
One last thing that I'll leave the listeners with is SEO is not a Google game. You know, if you look at young people, Google VP said that they're now looking at Instagram and TikTok to do their searches. Their search on booking.com when you're looking for a place to find, to travel. You do a search on Yelp when you're looking for a restaurant. The point I'm getting at is search is everywhere, right? So you need to optimize for search, not just on Google, not just on Bing, but on any platform where you can potentially get customers.
Makes sense. 100%. All right, my man. Good talking to you. Thanks for your time. Thanks for taking the time. And see you next time.
Sounds good. Take care.
You too.